For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Before we get started with this episode, I want to share something that I think could be a game changer for your classroom. Now, as a former special education teacher, one of the things I struggled with the most was creating activities, resources, and curriculum for my classroom. I did not realize that that was part of my job. I have spent the last 10 years developing the Autism Helper curriculum based on what was missing from my former classroom. And now we finally have a way for school districts to purchase this curriculum directly for their teachers. The Autism Helper Curriculum Access is an annual subscription that provides access to all levels and subjects of our curriculum. This curriculum is rooted in evidence-based practices, it's aligned to the standards, and we just completed our pilot case study showing the overall effectiveness. To learn more about how your district can get curriculum access, head over to theautismhelper.com and click Curriculum Access.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board-certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Welcome back to the Autism Helper podcast. Today I have Leanne Page, a BCBA, mom of two, and parent coach back on the podcast. She was actually, I want to say, in one of my first 50 episodes, maybe even less than that. And I'm super excited to have her back on the podcast. And she is talking about acceptance, commitment therapy, and the role that plays in being a parent or educator. She's talking also all about her new book, The Calm and Connected Journal. The Calm and Connected Journal is a really cool tool. It's interactive. It's a guided journal that teaches you really how to utilize some of these ACT principles and work on self-compassion, self-care, teaches you how to use mindfulness and be more present. I love that it's like simple few minute activities that you can do on this like 8-week paced guide or just kind of on your own pace. So Leanne's going to tell us all about it, but she's also going to talk about ACT, why we need it, how it's going to help us be a better teacher, be a better parent, be a better clinician. Let's go ahead and hear from Leanne from Parenting with ABA. Hi, Leanne. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me today.
I am so happy to have you back on the podcast for the second time.
Yes, it's been a long time though.
A long time. I think you were one of my like OG guests, like maybe within the first 50 episodes, right?
I think so, yes.
Well, I'm happy to have you back and I am super excited about this topic because this is something I think I personally really need to work on. Today, we're going to talk about acceptance commitment therapy in the context of how we can use this as a caregiver, as an educator, as a parent. And Leanne has a really great new book called The Calm and Connected Journal that she's going to tell us about. But to get us started, can you tell a little bit about what ACT or acceptance commitment therapy is for those that is new to?
Yeah, acceptance and commitment therapy is behavioral-based, evidence-based way of therapy, really. And as a BCBA, I'm not providing therapy, but we can learn all about the basics of ACT and let it help us. And kind of the general idea is to teach us to pause and be present where we are now and not let our minds hook us and worry about the future or the past. And then we get to choose what kind of person we want to be in that moment. And that choosing that action, choosing a behavior is how you can see it's behavioral, right? We get to choose these actions to help us be the kind of person we want to be.
When I learned about ACT in grad school, I loved this idea because it really puts all of these behavior analytic principles that we learn about into play, but like in our heads, right? And it does make so much sense from, you know, behavior analytic practices.
Right. And honestly, I was taught a million years ago that our thoughts and our feelings really aren't behavior. And that is not right. It's our private events, if we go back to Skinner. And so looking at your own thoughts and your feelings and using ACT practices to kind of create a little bit of distance from them and not be so reactive, not let them drive the bus and steer the ship and all that.
I mean, we see every day like how our thoughts and feelings impact our outer behaviors every second, right?
Yes, big time.
So how has ACT helped you be a better mom? How does this play a role in your parenting?
Something happened last week that I think can answer this. In my own parenting life, one of my kids chose a behavior that I was not happy with. And when it happened, I felt so emotional. I had all the big feelings myself, and I was ready to just react, explode, have, you know, overreact, frankly. Mm-hmm. But with all of my work in ACT on myself, always with myself, and then in supporting other families through parent coaching, I was like, no, I am reacting from my feelings right now. And I was able to tell both of my kids, I am not able to respond calmly right now. So this is not over, but I need time so that I don't just get emotional on you guys. And that modeled for them, obviously, that it's okay to slow down and pause. And thankfully, I took some time, figured out what a logical consequence would be, how to react more appropriately. And we did all of that. And I felt like my child had learned from it, but I was still upset. And that's when my mind was telling me to be harder on her, that we need to punish all these old school parenting reactive ways. And again, I was able to pause and go, what are you telling me? This is just a thought in my mind. Is this real? I don't know what to choose in this moment. And thankfully, I was able to call my husband and say, am I overreacting? Am I underreacting? Here's what happened. Here's what I did. And he was like, you did great, but it's time to move on. I don't think you need to keep going on this situation. Let your day continue. It's time to move on. And that was huge for me to realize it was just my thoughts and feelings still having a big reaction, and be honest with my kids of, okay, and now I need to go have some alone time. I need to calm myself down. I'm still upset about this, but we're done. This is it. And I need to handle my own regulation.
Yeah.
And modeling that for them and being able to say it out loud and do it, that was a huge win for me as a mom, because it's so easy, you know, when something happens in your own family, in your own home, to just go from 0 to 100 in our own reactions and fly off the handle so fast. So that's really what it is for me, is where can I pause before I fly off the handle and really make the choice to be the kind of mom I want to be. It's not easy. That pause is really hard and takes a lot of practice, but it's there and it's doable.
I think we just don't talk enough about the emotions that are at play in the caregiver, whether you are a parent or whether you are a teacher, clinician. Like when you're, you know, supporting a child and they're engaging in a negative behavior and it's frustrating, like you are allowed to feel frustrated about that. Like as a parent, as a teacher, like it is frustrating. Let's be real. Like it's frustrating a lot of the time. Like I just got home from dropping off, you know, two kids at school and there were a lot of frustrating moments. It's like what you said, it's what we do with that frustration. Yes. And I think the more we can have these conversations about that, the better teachers and parents we can all be, because just like ignoring this all is not helpful. Like, what are we just like, we're not robots. Like, we're not going to be like, oh, okay. Like, we just like never, this is why our teachers are burning out, I think, too.
Yes. And this whole like good vibes only, let's just shut out the bad thoughts or the bad feelings. Well, how is that working?
Yeah. And then you feel guilty for not having good vibes only, which that doesn't help.
That is, I do not like that phrase.
No,
that's one of my pet peeves.
Yes.
Because it's okay to have unfun vibes, to have unhelpful vibes. And that's really what ACT is teaching us, to accept that they're there. That's the A, the acceptance. And then the commitment is choosing what you want to do with them. Mm-hmm. Do I want to sit and wallow in them? Do I want to shove them away? Well, they're just going to come back up, probably even stronger. Or do I want to just make room for them and say, all right, I'm frustrated right now. And what am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
How can I still move on with this day, even though I am frustrated right now?
Let's talk for a second about that, like, overreaction, you know, that we've all been guilty of, whatever role we're in. You know, we're human. We're going to overreact. Mm-hmm. And I always point out to teachers how that never works. Like, never once has that been like, you know what really worked today when I, like, you know, lost my cool on my class, or when I, as a mom or as a dad, as a parent, like, I really lost it on my kids. Like, they really learned in that moment. Like, it might feel good for us in the moment, but it's never productive.
No, it's never productive. And that's the biggest question, is how has that worked for you? Mm-hmm. And are you willing to try something else? Are you willing to make a change? Because it hasn't worked. It never works. And then how do you feel afterwards as a person, as the teacher? That's not the kind of teacher you wanted to be. That's not the kind of parent you wanted to be when you first dreamed up this dream. How do we get back to that? That's the values piece, figuring out what kind of person, educator, parent do you want to be? And how do we make that happen? What are the committed actions that get us there?
Okay, so people that are like, yes, Leanne, I want that. Like, how do we get that pause? Because you're right. Oh, that pause is the hard piece.
The pause is the hardest piece. So in parent coaching, a lot of families come to me and they're like, my child needs to learn to regulate their emotions. Everybody wants emotional regulation. Teachers want that in their classroom, right? We want emotional regulation. And I'm sorry to say that starts with the grownups first. I make everybody mad when I say, well, you have to do it first, but it's the truth. And so it's recognizing your own physical cues. What is happening in your body that you are about to lose your cool and fly off the handle, right? Where can we catch those signs and go, oh, it's time to do something. It's time to do something. What I love to do with families, a practical thing, is to make a list of first your own physical signs. What does your body do? I turn red. I'm a fair-skinned person, and the redness, it starts in my chest and it creeps up my neck and into my face. So if someone sees my chest turning red, you know it's time to head for the hills. Like, she is not okay. But some people, you know, you might clench your fists or clench your teeth, or your voice changes, or your shoulders are up on your ears. Like, your body is telling you. But are you noticing it? So noticing those physical signs first. And then what can you do in that moment? A lot of times when we're working with kids, we think we need a calm down corner and we're going to breathe, like, a blow out the birthday candle and all these soothing things. But the reality is, for some of us, we need calming, soothing, still type movements. And some people need big gross motor movement. Some kids and adults, maybe you need to do jumping jacks. You need to jump rope. You need to run. You need to walk. You need to move your body to try to get those physical signs calming down. And that's the cue to your nervous system to calm down. So it's, what are your signs? And then what are your strategies, your own calm choices that work for you? If mine are going outside, I really need fresh air. I don't care what the weather is. I need to breathe fresh air. And so now that I can recognize that my body is tense, my chest is red, I need to go outside. That is huge. That is such a thing that, man, if my kids could do that, that would be a game changer, yes, right? So yes. It starts with us as the adult, which I'm so sorry, adults, to give you something else to do. But once we figure it out, it can be so helpful.
So I love this. And then how do we extend that to our kids? And as you said, that I could picture, like, modeling this, I'm imagining, mm-hmm. is a great first strategy of, like, you know, because I do this a lot with my kids too, like, mom's gonna take a minute, like, you uh-huh. know, and showing that it is individualized, because I know within my own kids they need different things. Like, I have a kid that I can be like, okay, you go to your room, and she needs to go to her room. And then I have another kid that if I say go to your room, that makes it worse, you know?
Yes.
So how can you figure out that, like, okay, what's this individualized list of those calming strategies? As a busy working mom, I find it really hard to prioritize eating healthy. I don't always have time to prep healthy meals, and I end up snacking all day. That wasn't until I found Factor Meals. I've been doing Factor Meals for about a year and a half, and I absolutely love it for healthy, ready-to-go lunches. What I love about Factor is they're ready to go. You pop it in the microwave, 2 minutes later, there is a hot, delicious, and healthy meal. My favorite is the taco bowls. I love how many options there are. Every week, I pick out what I'm going to get, and I always look forward to that box arriving because I know it's going to be something new and something that is super yummy. I think Factor Meals would be awesome for teachers because teachers have the shortest lunch breaks ever. So having something that's ready to go in 2 minutes is so key. So eat smart with Factor. You can get started at factormeals.com/Sasha50off and use code FACTORPODCAST. So again, head over to factormeals.com/Sasha50off with code FACTORPODCAST and enjoy a warm, healthy, delicious lunch during that super short lunch break.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
What I like to do with families is first do it with the adults. Figure your own out and use it for a week or so. So write out your own signs, but then create like a choice board with, you can use visual cues, you can use words, and I like to do two columns. So the first column is like the calming, soothing, alone, peaceful feelings. And then the second is the active. So that when you are having those signs, I like to use the words, what does your body need? So it takes a little bit of the shame out of it, like you're being bad, you're angry, you need to calm down. But what does your body need? We're looking at for cues in our body. What does your body need to regulate your nervous system?
That.
And so if the grown-ups make their own first and use it in front of their kids, think of how much easier. Let's say you did it for 2 days.
Yeah.
You make a list, just handwriting on a piece of post-it note, a piece of junk mail right on the back. And show your kids, my body feels like it's not okay. My body needs to go outside and take deep breaths. And that's it. And that's what you do. You go take your deep breaths. You come back in and you're hopefully in a better place. And your kids see that, right? And so then when you're like, okay, what does your body need? Mm-hmm. And they don't know. That's why we make a choice board with lots of choices. And then so that when things are getting heightened, when they are, you know, dysregulated, we can show them those pictures instead of talking at them. Your body needs to calm down. Why don't you take some deep breaths? Well, that's just placing more demands, right? Mm-hmm. So if we give them choices and give them that independence, hopefully, with you modeling it regularly, that it's a much easier process to teach that emotional regulation that everybody wants so badly for their students and their kids.
And it's just normalizing, too, that like we all have, you know, the range of emotions. And I love the, like, what does your body need? It really does take that shame piece off, which is so great. And I think, you know, the piece that I do often see parents get confused about with emotional regulation, and it's not out of like, obviously anything malicious, is the like suppression of emotions. And I get the instinct because like, I talk about emotional regulation probably 4 out of 5 days a week professionally. And then I catch myself doing this as a parent, but you want to take away the hard emotions for your kids, right? You're like, don't be angry, don't be worried, don't be frustrated. Because of course, you don't want your kids to feel those, you know, negative emotions. But in doing that, kind of like what we were going back to talk about with acceptance commitment therapy, it's just going to come back. So instead of like learning how to sit with those hard emotions, we're telling them to push those away. And emotional regulation and what you were talking about here is kind of exactly the opposite. Like, it's okay to be worried and frustrated. It's what are we going to do when we have those big emotions instead of those big bad behaviors?
I love the beach ball in the pool metaphor. I don't know if you're familiar with this.
No, let's hear it.
If you're, and we're recording this in not swimming weather, so listen to this in the summer. But if you're in a swimming pool and there's a beach ball floating around and you're annoyed by this beach ball, right? if you shove it under the water to make it go away, what's going to happen? The harder you shove that beach ball down underwater, it is going to pop up so much harder and faster as soon as you let go. It's going to hit you in the face. It's going to splash everybody on the way up. The harder you push it down, the further it flies.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in a pool and there's a beach ball floating around, and Lord knows how many toys floating in this pool if you have kids, you let it bump into you. It doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. It's not going to splash water in your eyes. It's just a beach ball. You just let it bump into you. You can gently, you know, push it out of the way, make a little current. It's here. I see you, beach ball. Whatever. Then you're going to have a much better time. Imagining that beach ball flying back up as you're, you know, trying to suppress those thoughts and feelings can be a powerful imagery to think of, even in the moment of, oh gosh, yeah, I don't want that to happen.
Yeah. And that kind of goes back to what we started talking about with, like, thoughts are mm-hmm. behaviors and things like that. Exactly.
Yeah.
So where does self-compassion and self-care kind of come into play with ACT and being a better caretaker? What role does this all play?
So self-compassion is a field of research in psychology by Dr. Kristen Neff, but it marries with ACT really well in the mindfulness piece. So part of ACT is being present in this moment, because when our minds and our thoughts hook us, we're usually either thinking about something that happened in the past, or we're worried about what's going to happen in the future. We're not right here, right now. And that's what the mindfulness piece is from self-compassion too. So self-compassion has been really powerful for me as a mom and for the parents that I get to support in parent coaching. And mindfulness is one of the three main pieces of it, but it is also self-kindness, which just means being nicer to yourself. And one way to think about that is, how would you talk to a good friend? If you had a good friend who's a mom or a teacher who comes to you and is like, I am the worst mom ever. I blew up at my kids again. I always shout at them. I am so terrible. I really hope you would not respond of like, yeah, you're awful. You are terrible, right? What would you say to your friend? You'd be like, no, you are trying your best. This is such a hard thing. Oh my gosh, you love your kids so much. You are such a good mom. You're really trying. Your kids know that. You would encourage them. So why don't we do that for ourselves? When our own mind likes to tell us that you're a terrible mom and you should overreact to this thing that happened. You haven't done enough. You should punish. You should do all these knee-jerk reactions. Okay, but what would I say to a friend in that moment? I would say, you're okay. It's okay. You're doing a good job. This is hard. So teaching ourselves to say that in those moments. The second piece of self-compassion is being part of a common humanity. So isolation and loneliness are huge indicators of burnout, both job burnout and parental burnout. And so if we can, on our own, try to find a way to connect to common humanity. And what that means is that you are not the only person who's ever had this problem. And not in a way of like belittling you, your problem doesn't matter, but thinking, man, I am part of this worldwide network of moms who have kids this age who are talking back. Mm-hmm. I am one of thousands of first grade teachers in the United States who are dealing with these behaviors in the classroom. We're in it together. Just imagining that connectedness. And then third piece is the mindfulness, really staying present right here, right now, noticing what's going on in front of me instead of spiraling into what's going to happen next.
Those are all so hard.
They're all so hard. And there are practices, though, to make it easier. And so that's really what the Calm and Connected Journal is all about, of a quick, like 5 minutes or less. Most of them are much less. Daily practice, something to think about, something like the beach ball metaphor, to just picture a beach ball. What thoughts are you shoving down? Identify that and then go on with your day and keep that in your mind. Of the beach ball. And then the next day, maybe we'll work on something else. What kind of mom do you want to be today? Even just starting your day like that, with your thinking about your values, what kind of teacher do I want to be today? And keeping that top of mind, write it down somewhere, can be a huge prompt, right? It can be a cue for us.
I really like that about the Calm and Connected Journal. The format of it is that I think everyone listening is like, I want to do this, be this. But, you know, we get busy and like life takes over and we get into our routines. And I'm like a big, like I'm a to-do list person. I'm like, you give me the item, you give me the action step, I want to do it. So that's, it feels tangible for something that like doesn't feel tangible, like be mindful. And I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? So I think it adds this like tangible component to something we all really want.
Oh, that's the goal. I love hearing that. And to make it easy, because this all does sound really pie in the sky. It sounds really woo-woo as we're talking about it, but it doesn't have to be. There are little things we can do, little behavior changes that we can do to get to that place to where you are having the big emotional reaction. You can hit that pause button.
And if you're just like working it into your routines, into your day, like what are some suggestions you have for incorporating this into your day? How have you heard from different readers on how they're fitting this into their, you know, daily routines?
Yeah, a few of our book launch team have worked through it together where they check in on each other just via text message. What day are you on? How are you doing it? So having a friend, a buddy to help you with it, or just when you start your day, when you have a cup of coffee, I usually sit down and I don't do this every day. I'm not at all going to say I'm great at it, but my husband takes the kids to school. So when everybody leaves at 7:30 in the morning, sometimes I'm already worn out from parenting and I have to switch gears to get ready to work. And I work from home, which, you know, that muddies, kind of blurs the lines too. Then I sit down with my journal and can hit the reset button of, okay, this is who I want to be today. This is what I'm working on. This is encouraging that I'm not alone, that this mom job is hard, but it's doable. So finding a way to work a tiny little practice into your day to habit stack. So my cue is my family leaves, it's time to do something for me. Another one of our journal launch team members keeps it on her nightstand and she does it before she goes to bed at night. And then her husband likes to ask her about it. And so I've even heard from her husband who's like, oh my gosh, I love the 20-second hug, or I love the this, or I love that. And I'm like, I love that you're asking her about it or reading it, stealing it from her nightstand. So making any sort of new behavior change we know is a lot easier if we can stack it on top of some sort of habit or cue that's already happening in your routine.
Yeah, agreed. Just something that, you know, is in your head too, that you can just have this quick little reset button and can, you know, because I think everyone heard your, you know, your example you gave earlier that you were able to pause and everyone's like, well, how did you do that? How did you do the pause? And if you have, you know, these, this repertoire of kind of being in this, being a part of this practice and thinking about these ideas, that it's going to enable you, I think, to be more likely to make that pause because you've been thinking about it, right? Like I think this beach ball example will stick with someone. Like that'll come up later, like 2 weeks from now. Someone's going to be like, oh yeah, that beach ball example, because it's salient, you know? So like if we're, if we're thinking about these things more regularly, then we're more likely to hold on to it. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, I attend a 4-hour PD, like who has time for that?
No, we can do it. And just doing a little bit every day is actually going to strengthen that behavioral repertoire more than a 4-hour workshop or something. Yes. So a little bit at a time every day and actually doing something with it, thinking about it, remembering it, reflecting on it. That too is why this is a journal format. You're supposed to write in it. You're supposed to draw on it, write on it, engage with it, because that little bit of change at a time really stacks and builds on each other. And we want to get to that place where we are the proactive parent or educator, right? And not the knee jerk flying off the handle, but it takes work. So let's just make that work as easy as possible on us as grownups and be smart about it.
Love it. So where can people go to purchase the Calm and Connected Journal?
parentingwithaba.org.
Awesome. Well, I will put the link in the show notes. Everyone check out the Calm and Connected Journal. If you are not a parent, I still think it would work awesome for an educator, especially being an educator right now. My goodness, yes. I feel like you need this more than ever. It is a really hard time to be a teacher, a paraprofessional, a clinician. So I think this translates really nicely to the educator role too. So even if you are not a parent, and if you're a parent and teacher, Just maybe even maybe better. Get two. I don't know.
I think we need all the help.
Right? Okay, well, check out Leanne's site. She's such a wealth of knowledge. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast a second time, Leanne.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum, everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher. We have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.